Hi, and welcome to Cloud Cover. My name's Nick Harris, and today I'm joined by...
James Baker.
And...
Nick Floyd.
So, if you've watched one of the last episodes, you'd know who James is. He's a new member of our team. He's replacing Chris for a little bit. He's certainly taller and has a little bit more hair. And Nick, you're actually one of our... tell us a little bit about who you are.
Sure. I actually have a little less hair.
Yeah.
But I work for New Relic, and I'm an agent developer.
Okay.
For the .NET agent.
Okay, awesome. So for those viewers that, you've said New Relic, for those viewers that aren't aware of what it is, what is New Relic and what does it provide to, your everyday developer?
Okay, yeah, so we have an APM, and that's Application Performance Monitoring.
Okay.
And so we try to solve the problem, which I think we do really well, of being able to put software out there in production. And
right.
The big problem is you really don't ever know what's going on.
Yeah.
And so we try to give you absolute almost X-ray vision into your applications mm-hmm. and what they're doing and how they're behaving and the health, application overall,
yep.
application health.
Yeah, so I've certainly had a lot of scenarios like that where you deploy something to production, something's not working, and that's basically why I've lost a lot of hair, is probably because a product like this wasn't available
<Right on. laughs>
when I started doing this as a career. So we're going to see that today. So what are your demos going to include? And then perhaps we can roll straight into a demo.
Okay, yeah, so basically we're going to start with just showing you how to put together an app, put the NuGet package in there, the New Relic NuGet package in there, and then put it up on the cloud and see how kind of easy that is.
Okay.
And I'll demo getting the add-on into the store from the store.
Yep.
And then I'd like to kind of try to do a little dev test scenario where we can kind of look at a local app while the New Relic agent's installed locally.
Okay.
And see what kind of benefits that can provide for us.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's flip to your machine here and get going.
Okay, right on.
And now for our feature presentation.
So the first thing I'm going to do is just head on over to the Azure store. And we all know that as the manager, windowsazure.com. And what I'm going to do is I'll generate an application, then head over to the plugins and add a plugin from there, and then show you how easy it is to get analytics up and running on your site. So the first thing I'm going to do is generate a new app, and I'm sure you've seen this many times.
So for everyone watching on his screen here, normally what resolution do you run this thing at?
Yeah, 2880.
Okay, and we've made you drop it down so you guys can actually read the text. Okay, so you're going to deploy a website?
Yeah, sure will. Okay. Let's just do one from scratch, just kind of have fun. The more live coding demos, isn't that always a better thing to do?
No, of course they'll always work. So while the website spins up, where's New Relic sit within the portal, and how can I get my New Relic account?
So let me show you that. So down here, you can go to add-ons.
Yep.
And you can actually just add a new one. And you'll see...
Down the store there, yep.
And you scroll down, and you can just select New Relic.
All right. So we click through. Mm-hmm. You've got a free tier here. So
it's free for free standard. For however long. But if you ever want to kick it up, it's really about length of time and app features.
Okay.
And that's built through my Azure subscription, is it?
It is.
Yep.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is always a good thing to kind of have that all together instead of being billed from everywhere else.
Okay. But basically, if someone wants to get started with this, they can use the free tier, get started, see how it works.
Yeah.
You said it may be limited in some features.
Yeah,
it's typically enough to jump in and get started and start profiling your applications.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we give 14 days of the full fledged pro everything bells and whistles, so that you can kind of just get that full experience.
Okay.
But after that, it's just free.
Okay. Free is good.
Yeah, free.
So that's the entry point. So what are we going to do with this website here that you've just created?
Right. So let me head back over there to the website. And what we'll do is we're just going to enable analytics. And the Azure team just added this, which is really exciting. Is you just head over there to your actual website. You click Configure.
Yep.
And you come down here to the Analytics section. And this is kind of a brand new thing. So if you've got some custom things, you can select a provider in here. We're going to just do the add-on, so it's kind of a hands-free thing.
All right.
And I'm going to choose the one that I just created.
All right, so that's your New Relic subscription?
That's the add-on that we just chose.
Okay.
And I'm going to click Save. And after this, we're just going to go ahead and publish.
Okay.
And we'll get it. We should get it right away.
Seems incredibly easy.
Yeah. So I get that option simply by selecting the add-on from the store.
That's right.
And then off it goes.
Right. So, you're pretty much good to go. Let's go ahead and create a new site then, and just something everybody's kind of familiar with.
All right.
And I'll tell you kind of as we publish this and as we let it spin up, I'll kind of tell you about the internals of how the agent even works.
Yep. Yeah. No, that'd be excellent.
Yeah. So the point of interest, I think I'd like to just kind of illustrate is it's just a NuGet package.
Okay.
And I imagine most everybody's kind of familiar with that.
Yep.
And it just throws a couple things in your folder. There's no quote install. It just kind of puts some interesting things in there, which we can go through too as it publishes.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and install the package.
Does it need a special .NET framework version?
No, 2.0 and above.
2.0 and above.
So
cool.
We go all the way back to the kind of old school. Choose websites, and we have NuGet packages for cloud services. The x64 builds of websites, if you feel so compelled to kind of do that, and all that good stuff. Okay. So what you see down here is that the message down there at the bottom. You don't have to do this, though. We still give the information to you. It's kind of an OR thing, because the analytics piece that the Azure portal guys put in does all this for you.
Okay.
And so now all I'm going to do is publish it, just like we kind of always do. And I'm going to go ahead and import a profile, and let's choose Channel 9 New Relic. And I don't think...
Hit enter.
Right on.
How's that res issue going?
Yeah, right.
So you've dropped the NuGet package in, and how is that sort of wiring up to the analytics piece that you've turned on in the portal there? Like, you've literally done nothing. So anyone who's got a website can install this NuGet package and change that setting within their website. And then, we're going to get whatever it is that you're going to show us. But how is that actually working?
Like,
what's it doing? Is it instrumenting the app? Is it putting hooks in? How's that all working?
Right. So we actually implement the iCore Profiler 2 interface.
Okay.
And so just before JIT happens, JIT compilation happens, what we do is based on those environment variables that were added by enabling analytics. So we saw a couple of them in there, right? So we saw core profiling and all the other things, the profiler home and all that good stuff. Just by enabling that, we get to intercept this process and look at it and go, should we instrument you? And of course it says yes. And so what we do is based on this whitelist of meaningful methods and overloads and all that good stuff, we start to inject. So we actually rewrite the bytecode out on the fly. So you notice I didn't change any code whatsoever.
Okay.
That's because the kind of the magic of this thing is that we don't want you to. We want you to get benefits right out of the gate. I don't want you to have to sit there and like add a, which we have API methods to do that with, but why do that when you can get benefits just without having to touch any of your code?
Yeah, definitely it makes sense to not have to go and sort of drop all this tracing, basically.
Right.
Trace statements or whatever using your API or any other API into your code base, because it's very hard then to pull that out.
It sort of
dirties it up. So this is simply drop a NuGet package in. Can you turn it off? Like, is there a web config switch or something like that?
You sure
can. Off at a later point?
You can definitely turn it off through the web config. You can actually even go in here where we have all these and turn it off right there if you'd like. All at a net result of it as if it's never even been installed.
Okay. So what we've been talking, you've been clicking around the site here.
Yeah, so what I've been doing is kind of, just making sure that we have something to look at when we go navigate out to the actual New Relic portal.
Okay.
And so I'd like to show you that. And I know that if I can attempt to create a error of some sort, perhaps, but we can do that later in the code. But yeah, let's go ahead and see how we can hop out there. So we're going to go back to the plugin section. They've made a really, really, really super easy for us to get to this. And you click on the plugin, so I have the New Relic Channel 9 one. And of course, you can click here to get your information, like your API key or your license key, if you're interested in doing other apps.
All right.
But of course, just simply clicking Manage will take us out to New Relic, where your application is actually being monitored. And sure enough, there it is. A thing to note is you can change the application name if you'd like.
Yep.
What we do is we actually use the instance name. So whatever your website's called up here, we use that for the application name as well, just to make it easy on you. Again, no touch.
Yep.
You should be able to get up and running pronto.
Okay. So what is it collecting for us? What can we see just from from what you've done so far?
Okay, so right now it should be collecting web transactions. And as you see, you can just get the controller action. So we're all kind of familiar with all that that good stuff. And if any transactions are within above the threshold, which this one is, and you can all this is configurable, of course. Like I'm interested in sub-second threshold, maybe 50 milliseconds, whatever. Right. It'll record those transaction traces. And so what you're seeing here is you're seeing that our home index, the page that we just kind of landed on, took a while to load. And so if we click into that, I already know it's going to be the of course it's going to be the page warming.
Right.
And something that you can do as a developer, if you go, aha, wow, I just saw that happen. The page is warming. It takes forever. And so we can look at the stack trace here.
Right.
And of course, right now the begin process request, we can see that it's doing the execution step.
Right.
And one thing we can do as .NET developers is obviously go into our web configs, set the pre-warm, and then be kind of rid of this problem.
Okay.
Which is kind of nice. And of course, it shows you the full the full page lifecycle, anything that's going on there, all the pipeline stuff. Extremely valuable when you're trying to find this bottleneck, because we know that they could be anywhere, which is pretty frustrating.
So that's a lot of data. What sort of performance impact are we getting on that?
Sure. So on load, you get roughly about maybe a 10 to 20% impact
as it jits.
You're going to kind of get that anyway, but we acknowledge it's going to be a little hotter, and it depends on how much you want to instrument and how much you don't. Mm-hmm. And then as it's running, it's between 0 and 5%.
Right.
Cool. And we treat those things, I mean, like really seriously, right? That's your application health, and that's kind of something we're trying to help you with. And so if let's say your performance kind of gets out of hand around that, if that ever happens, we treat those as crashers, man. And that's nothing to play with. This is your sanity at stake.
So are you recommending that I could run this in production, fully instrumented, and it's the 0 to 5%, as long as I can tolerate that, that's okay?
Absolutely. In fact, that's the majority of our implementations.
Right.
Is in production.
Okay.
And so that's just something that as developers, even myself, I have to kind of get past thinking that my dev tools can also be production tools. Wow, that's kind of cool. I think that's how it should be.
Yeah.
You can get all sorts of really interesting information, like I was kind of alluding to earlier. Obviously, request queuing. So maybe your service throttling and it's about to fall over. So maybe you need to spin up some more. You can obviously get information about the server, the CPU utilization, and memory.
Okay.
Typically, what I do is I just have this thing set into the side on like my Surface, and it just refreshes. So I know as I'm either developing or deploying, I can see the state and health of my applications in real time.
Yeah. Wow. It's really cool. So external services actually looks quite interesting there.
Right. So if I were to call something, and I can spin up a local instance maybe if we want to do the test thing, and it'll show external calls.
Okay.
And how all those are linked, and you can actually get a really nice picture of what kind of damage or benefit an external service is causing to your application.
Okay.
Maybe SLAs. Let's say you're calling an API and you have an SLA with this particular vendor. Mm-hmm. You can go, hey, you're breaking your SLA. It's taken more than 50 milliseconds for me to call your API.
Right.
So that's pretty useful.
Because typically, from the end user's perspective, they're just using a website, and hey, you may be calling a third-party service, but they typically think it's your problem as opposed to the other person.
Yeah.
So this this is actually a good tool to sort of profile that and see how long that is.
And it's, and all these, a lot of these charts and whatnot can actually be exposed on your own website if you'd like to, in frames or whatever. If you're like, hey, here's our status page, and it's got, here's the health of the app, if you really want to get that kind of exposed, if you will. We obviously collect all the information about browsers, so, kind of gone are the days of, wow, we need to look to somebody else to find out who and what browsers they're using, and what versions, and which ones should we continue to support.
Right.
This gives it all to you.
Okay.
In fact, we even give geography information, so you can even tell when and where that's coming from. So if you want to do geo redundancy, maybe you have, it would show a whole world map, but you would see something in where you maybe need to put servers over in Europe.
Okay.
And all this again is real time.
Okay. So you were showing us a really cool example before we started filming.
Okay.
Do you think you could show people that?
Sure.
I think it's really useful in seeing, that this also profiles your DB transactions as well.
Yes. Yeah. So let me do that. Let me go ahead and log out. In fact, I'll kind of back out of this, and let's create a brand new site, and let's go locally.
Yep.
And see what we can see, actually. Yeah, that's a really cool scenario, because oftentimes we think that we're safe by using software that's kind of pre-genned.
Yep.
And you know, maybe there's more at hand or more to see than what maybe meets the eye. So let's create a new web app. So I'm just going to do a local application, MVC, of course. Let's let that spin up. And so while that is, just to kind of go back to that, we use that GORI Core Profiler interface. We inject a JIT time, and we use this white list of methods, so begin request, end request, database stuff. So we do Oracle or MySQL or obviously Microsoft SQL Server, all that good stuff. And based on all that, it kind of generates these instrumentation bits, puts them in your code, and then that's what you're running in production.
Okay.
We also inject script in the browser so that we can get the information about locale and all that good stuff. Stuff that's really, really hard to find and see.
And I presume I can customize that whitelist so that if I'm interested in a set of methods or something like that, I can drill into that.
Absolutely. And that's you can either customize it, and oftentimes you saw what you got just without me touching anything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe you want to scale that back and do more custom. Yeah. Totally can do that. Absolutely. Let me go ahead and show you the scenario that we were talking about earlier. This is a really fun one for me because it's real. Because I found I was, you know, like any good developer, I suppose, creating these N+1 scenarios without me even realizing it.
Right.
And
so for those people that don't know what an N+1 scenario is, do you want to explain a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So it's essentially so in terms of SQL, it's making these calls over and over and over again. It sometimes happens with Entity Framework, for instance, if you chain. Let's say I want to select the categories off a product.
Yep.
Well, you do, you know, product.categories or whatever. Yep. Well, that'll cause, since it's lazily executed, it'll actually go and get every single product or in every single category, and all those are single queries, and that's kind of this N+1 thing where you want to execute one query, but it's always going to be an N number of queries after that, depending on how many things are in the database.
Right.
Inadvertently, I mean that's obviously something you don't want to do, but let's see what happens here.
Yeah, I've certainly seen that. So if my friend Phil is watching, I remember that. Yeah, we had quite a scenario with that, and it was really hard to track down actually.
Yeah.
But seeing what you can do here with this is actually quite cool.
Yeah, and you're spot on. So it could be anything. It could be maybe you're N+1-ing a method.
Yep.
Those kind of things are super frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you know that there's slowness going on, you just don't ever know why.
Yep.
Let me hop around here. Actually, let's do a registration so we can make a database call. And let's see if we can do this. And let that spin up. And I will go ahead and connect to New Relic. Sign in. There's my application.
All right.
Still, of course, spinning through some stuff, but there we go. So you see, there's a database call.
Yep.
And so if we take a little bit closer look at that, let's look at this one. That's 40 seconds.
Yep.
Something's wrong. We of course kind of assumed already that it's going to be kind of a page warming thing, but there could be also something else going on.
Provisioning the initial DB.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Yep.
So maybe something else going on. And as we can see, that's exactly what was happening. Mm-hmm. It's provisioning the database, but it's also making an inordinate amount of calls and opening up a bunch of connections.
Right.
Which, to a developer, we should be looking at this going, oh man, what, you know, wow, that's not good.
Yep. So you can basically see what the bottleneck is. Can we drill into that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, so let me go in the details if you'd like. So you can see the details. Let's say if we're just primarily concerned with SQL at this point in time.
Right.
You can go and see in the timeline what's taken the time. So maybe even opening up connections could be expensive. Perhaps you have connection pull exhaustion.
Yep.
You can see all that. Or you're just like, you know what, I just want to see the SQL. I want to see what we're doing to the database here. And sure enough, we're doing quite a bit of work in the database just for this one page.
Yep.
Which is both disconcerting and kind of gives you hope, because you're like, now I know about it, whereas before I didn't, and now we can do something about it.
Right. Okay, that's pretty powerful, really, as far as I'm concerned. So,
sure.
Let me show you the external bit if you're interested in that. So
yeah, let's see that.
I have a site which uses RavenDB, which I absolutely love. I don't know if you guys have played with that. It is extraordinary. And let me just go ahead and kick this guy up. And there's an individual, and his name escapes me, but I can give you a link if you want to do the show show notes.
Yeah, we can put it in the notes down the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, it looks like my instance hadn't spun up just yet. Oh, yeah, he's still working on it. Let's do an IS reset first. But this individual created a kind of a Stack Overflow implementation using Raven on the back end.
Okay.
And it's so excellent because you can see, you get a really nice picture of this kind of end-to-end beautiful kind of NoSQL thing with just excellent page loads and queries and all sorts of fun stuff. But on top of that, I added a couple of things, and I added some external calls to a web API.
All right.
And as we know, kind of as developers, we kind of fight this fight of dealing with APIs and also dealing with just kind of these really good web applications that provide just at least relevant content as we're trying to kind of pull this stuff out.
Right.
Oftentimes, though, those APIs aren't always dependable. You know, we kind of run into some roadblocks with that kind of stuff. And the neat thing about what New Relic can kind of give you that picture is it can show you, obviously, what the SLA on the API is.
Right.
But it also ties the transactions together.
Okay.
So you can do what we call the cross-application tracing. And again, it's like all I did was install it. I don't have to do anything else. The API is running on this local machine, and it's also the front-end site's obviously running on this machine as well. But if you have distributed and you've installed the agent, you're good. Right. You're good to go. And that's kind of the cool thing. So I'm just going to click around again just to get some data, because that's what we do. Okay, and so there you see I've got the Raven, which is the website.
Okay, so you've got a website calling a web API.
Yep.
Okay, and you've essentially installed, well, I assume it's not a NuGet package in this case.
No, I actually just have the agent installed here locally. You could use all that just as long as you use the environment variables, you're good to go.
Okay, so what's this going to show us on the external calls?
Yeah, so let me show you that. This is fun. Let's go ahead and extend the time window too, just so we can get a lot of data. And I will show you. So external services, so we know, we're calling the Raven API. And there's this thing. There we go. So it's going to show us the call here to the handler.
All right.
More interestingly, we're going to be able to see this. And I know I'm calling this particular API from the questions create.
Right.
So let's look at one of these transaction traces down here and see if we can see something. And so I'm going to come in here. And sure enough, we see the call.
Right.
Okay, so that'll link to an actual transaction in the other app.
Okay.
But the more fun aspect of it, because we know that when we call APIs, it's usually in orders of magnitude oftentimes, you'll see this neat little icon right here. And so we see that took almost 10 seconds.
Right.
What's going on? I mean, it accounts for 86% of the time. Well, if I click on that, I hop right into the other API's transaction traces, and I can look, and sure enough, here's one. So click through to it.
And so you haven't had to do anything to conflate those APIs together?
No, I never did. It just so happens to be able to detect.
That's awesome.
That's quite useful if you're building like an end-tier application and you want to start profiling each segment of that particular app and how it sort of progresses through perhaps your web tier, your business tier, and perhaps ultimately through to your data tier.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's one thing I haven't shown, but we have all sorts of plugins.
Okay.
So you can see that we have a SQL Server plugin, we have Perfmon. So if you're really interested in perf counters, you can get some extraordinarily interesting information there.
So what was it that was causing the periods while we're here?
So I mean, just in just knowing that I can actually cheat, it's going to be asleep. So we can look at the stack trace.
Okay.
And I already know. So I know that there's a lot, and I know exactly where to go because of this. I have this segment that's telling me that in my controller where I made this call, I need to go look at that, go in the API, and kind of tear it apart.
Okay. So you at least, though, what's useful is you can visually see in red what's taking the 95% of that call time, and then you've got a stack trace which enables you to just go back to your code and start having a look at what was happening.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's another thing is this, we have this really, really cool feature, maps. And so like you were saying, the interior part of this, let's say I had 50 of these, I could look really quick and see this one server is already breaking my personal SLA of 2 seconds.
Right.
I know this takes too long, so he's already read. I can quickly find out what's going on with him just by going in, hopping in, and looking at the web transactions that we kind of just made by clicking on some data here.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what else do you have for demo-wise? I think you said you had one more, a dev test scenario? Or?
That was kind of, I mean, we could go in and kind of mangle the code, but you know, I think every developer knows what that looks like. But yeah, as far as that goes, we have, I mean, there's a series of things. Of course, we've got the plugins, which if I, for any developer, whether you're doing Mongo or you want to look at your load balancers, you want to get deeper details in the SQL. All of these are free, by the way, just by having just New Relic, and so you can do any number of these things. If you React, which I love, by the way, so you just all of these things, just right out of the box, you can get them, download them, and get started. There's another thing that we do, which is a really cool feature. It's called thread profiling.
Okay.
And so we can run a thread profile against one of these sites. Let's say the Raven, for instance. As we use it, we can see. Let me do that real quick. We can start one if we'd like. So thread profiling. What this is it's kind of like a statistical picture of what the site's actually doing. So you can actually see where the majority of time is being spent in your application, any aspect of your application, which is really, really useful, especially if you're trying to determine kind of these holistic bottlenecks.
Right.
Or if you're like, we have a problem. You know, those kind of questions, which as developers are so hard to answer, generally end up in like a six-pack of Red Bull in a long night.
Yeah.
You know, and so we don't want that. We want you to work during the day, you know, and get your good stuff done. You can just set a timer and start the profiler.
Right.
And it'll start aggregating. And this is going to be doing it against my local instance, but it's going to start aggregating information, you know, as I'm clicking through. And it'll tell me at the end of this where I spent all my time.
Right. Okay.
I wish I had one kind of pre-baked for you, but it'll be running. And
does it also sort of show usage patterns across that period of time as well?
So it does. It gives you kind of this percentile breakdown, which is really, really useful. Because let's say you're hitting the disk a lot, and you don't know it. Maybe you're hitting your web config a whole lot.
Right.
That's expensive, especially if you've got it like in some kind of like, maybe here's one. Here's a good example. Like in global on you know session start or something like that, you're calling out to your web config.
Okay.
Well, as developers, we're like, well, yeah, that's config and it should be cached and that should be fine, but it's still going to attempt to hit the file.
Right.
And so that's going to cause a lot of I/O, especially if you have millions upon millions of hits, which will drive CPU up. You know, which drives maybe even file locking.
Okay.
Perhaps that could happen. Anyway, those are really great things that this thing when it finishes, you'll see it and you go, wow, I'm spending a lot of time in the configuration manager, and you can see down the chain. Oh wow, I'm getting a key every request. You know, I'm spending 80% of all of my application usage in that. That's terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so let's go do something about it. You know, that's kind of the idea. Yep. Yeah, for sure. This is a great feature. I love this thing.
So all this profiles, let's go down the side and just talk about each of the main entry points you have here. So we've looked a little bit about applications, so we've seen that.
Okay.
So what about transactions?
Transactions are kind of just where everything as far as traces go.
Yep.
So it's the stuff that we were showing earlier where you could, let's say you have a particularly interesting page.
All right.
Let's say here, let's just use a real world example here.
Yeah. I like it how you just have real world examples.
I use this daily.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of error prone, especially when I get tired.
Yep.
And if I can find a tool that helps me write better code, then I'm in.
Okay.
We know that questions create was giving us some problem.
Right.
And we want to let's create a key. These key transactions, you may know them as KPIs, perhaps, or that's kind of an enterprise term.
Yep.
But you want to know how something is doing, and if it breaks an SLA, just like we were talking about earlier. You want to know that. So that's kind of where all that comes from.
Oh. Okay.
Let me call it question. So I know that's a really important page. It'd be like a shopping cart or something.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't ever want your shopping cart to fall down. And so what we do is we do this thing called AppDeck score, which is a kind of a universal way to measure how healthy your application is in terms of how happy your users are.
Right.
Right? So yeah, they're really happy. They're kind of like, well, I don't know. Or they're just not liking using your app. And of course, we know in this economy, if someone doesn't like it, they're going to be out because there's about a million different options. And so now we can get an immediate picture of this all the time, and we can set different thresholds and everything to alert us, which is really great.
Okay.
It's a little SLA, so you can see how it was doing over the week, over the month, over the year, whatever.
Okay.
Really, really helpful stuff, especially if you're trying to answer some business questions.
Yep.
That's always good.
Mobile?
The mobile, we have, currently we have iOS and Android agents that can, and that's essentially
so they can actually run in native apps then? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right.
Awesome.
That's right, which is really helpful.
Yep.
Servers, we have two server agents. As you can see, there's one here reporting all this information right now. This is really helpful, especially when your server falls over and you have no idea why.
Okay.
These gaps right here is when my box was actually turned off. So.
Okay.
But you can also see how much memory each process is taking, and that includes our applications.
Yep.
And if you see, you can see that these two applications are the ones we're familiar with, and we're seeing, you know, the Raven's throwing some errors. That's not good. Let's go find out why that's happening. But you can see the utilization as far as disk, network. All good stuff.
Okay.
What processes are just totally eating your CPU and what you can do about it. Yep. And that's everything.
Okay.
And again, that one's free too.
Yep.
You know, you can just get that.
Let's go. Free is good.
Right. Here, exactly. Mm-hmm. Here you can actually create dashboards. Yep. So like if there's something important to you, as far as like KPIs or something you want to report, maybe you have custom, like you were talking about custom instrumentation.
Or I'm responsible for a particular feature in an application.
Yeah. You can do custom dashboards. If you're like, well, you know, all these are great, but I need this kind of bird's eye view here, you can do that based on any metric that's been recorded.
Okay.
Which is fun. And these two guys, this is of course my local, my personal account, which we're messing with plugins. But these are all these little plugins, like the Perfon plugin that I was talking about.
Right.
You can throw those into the cloud, and if you're interested in, like, if the ASP net cache is threshing or something, whatever.
Okay.
You can any Perfmon counter you can kind of grab and report on.
Okay.
So that you can see what's happening on your server. So maybe you have these conditions where a server's about to fall over, or maybe you have TCP exhaustion.
Right.
And you know that happens at a certain time, and you haven't changed the thresholds on the physical server, so you're like, forget this. I just need to kind of be alerted, or I need to know when that's going to happen. You can use the perf counters to kind of tell you that before that happens.
Cool.
And there's, of course, plugins, which I just saw you.
Also works with custom perf counters if you've actually gone and implemented your own.
If they're on there, yeah. Okay. And that's part of our most excellent plugins architecture. Okay. And then okay.
So how's that the thread piece that we spun up before?
Oh, right on. Yeah, let's go back to that. So let me go back to my application.
Nick's a little bit jumpy. Had a few Red Bulls driving up here. So.
I did. It's a long drive, but
he's actually come all the way from Portland today, which is how many hours? Like two or four?
Three and a half, I think it was.
Okay, 3.5. Quite a way. So thank you for coming.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Hopefully this is done, and you can see that. Oh, we're almost done. Yeah, so I set it to 5 minutes, but we can come back, definitely come back to that. Oh, another thing I wanted to show you, the errors. So we all know about the errors that we record,
right?
As far as like custom error solutions or anything that could happen, like HTTP errors even, for whatever the case may be. But those are often kind of cobbled together solutions. So that's another problem that we're trying to solve here is that why cobble together this error thing that where you go and stick it out of Azure blob storage, or you know enable these logs or files, and you go look at IS log, do all that stuff. Why do any of that when you can have it kind of all in one box?
Yep.
I've got 5 kids, and I have very little time to do some really cool stuff as far as like web app dev when I'm just kind of experimenting. Well, I need to know what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, and am I doing it right? And that's generally what this helps me do.
Okay. So you actually use it as a development tool as
absolutely.
Well to ensure the quality of what you're producing is, you know, high, as opposed to it being an afterthought as, crap, something's wrong. Let's turn this on. It's actually something you use daily.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, just to be frank, I mean, we as developers, we're going to learn a lot by doing something wrong. And it's good, but you just need this, you need something to kind of let you know that's wrong and it's kind of broken. You don't always have, you know, the experts of the world who did the frameworks on your shoulder. Let me show you where we had. Oh, the errors. So we saw over there in the server monitor, because all this is kind of integrated, we saw that we were throwing some errors.
Yeah.
I wonder what that was. It could be anything, of course, but in our case, so we hit a 404.
Yep.
And you can ignore all these things, but what's invaluable is that you're now aware of it.
Yep.
That maybe you're under a denial of service attack.
Yeah.
You'll know right away.
Yeah.
You know, that they're throwing in whatever, and which is just invaluable. I mean, Just as a dev from long ago, you know, old classic ASP days, we never got this stuff, man. It's so good. Right. So let me see.
So I got a question.
Okay.
You're running it all as a cloud service, and so all of the instrumentation data from my applications is up in your service. That reveals a hell of a lot about what my business is and what the internals are. You're looking at my dirty washing.
Yes.
How safe is that data? There's also a sort of a PII sort of concern that my customer's
Absolutely.
Information may be sitting in your data center. You know, how's that all work out?
Right. So just a couple things about New Relic. We're SOX 2. So we had to go through a whole series of compliance. Mm-hmm. We're also, another cool thing is that when we do these things, we are so sensitive to that kind of thing that essentially we have a couple different ways to handle all that. One, by default, we're not going to send over SQL parameters, request parameters. We're not going to do any of that. None of that. You can if you'd like.
Yeah,
like usually I do that in my dev scenario, but we're not going to do that. No way. The second thing is that we encrypt, we compress, and then we send over SSL.
Right.
Via protocol, and so you get all that kind of security, and then thirdly, it's totally obscured. If I were to show you, and we could look in one of the log files if you'd like, but if I were to show you a string of data, it would be absolutely meaningless without the thing that kind of reassembles it.
Right.
So even in our own data stores, we can't absolutely make sense of it unless we put it back together.
Right.
So even if someone compromises that, which doubtful, seriously doubtful. They wouldn't be able to make heads or tails of what data goes where.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, we're collecting around 200 billion metrics a day.
Yeah.
And I whoever this poor soul, whoever attempts to try to get on that and look at that data, I wouldn't want to be that guy. So, here's what I was talking about. So we see that we're spending a lot of time in execution context, and we knew that was part of the spin up. So I only hit this app twice, I think. Obviously, if it was getting regular traffic as you're running the thread profile, you would actually see a lot of information. But this is what I was talking about. You see 83% of your time is spent here. Well, let's go find out what that is. You know, that's kind of the thinking for sure. So
okay.
That's
cool.
It's really useful.
Very cool. So is there anything else that you wanted
to
share?
Oh, man, I could go on.
Milking for everything, Nick.
Anything major that we haven't covered yet?
The enterprise story, I alluded to this, but you can definitely set up your environment to be super secure.
Right.
We have a thing where you can actually apply an enterprise level of security to it. And when you do that, when you enable that, all the traffic has to go over SSL, no request parameters can be sent, no SQL parameters. So you can even kind of future-proof yourself and your infrastructure if someone can accidentally do stuff like that.
So some crazy dev out in the shop's not... Yeah. Sending over those parameters.
That would, I'm one of those.
We need to stop you.
protect me from myself. it just goes on and on. We announced something recently called the Rubicon Project.
Okay.
Which is extraordinary.
What is the Rubicon Project?
So all this information. So you're probably asking, just like you did, is like all this information.
Yep.
How can it be used for my gain here as far as. Me, not just the developer, but like business personnel.
Right.
You're gathering all this good information. Can we use that? And so can we ask questions like, how many people hit my shopping cart page, at what time, and what did they do?
And didn't buy.
And didn't buy. Whatever those things are. Well, this kind of project, and I can't necessarily show you now, but this kind of project rethinks the way we look at data.
Okay.
And it's extraordinary because now, as business owners, and even developers. Yeah. It helps us understand what we should be focusing on instead of just speculation.
Yep.
Like, should I be focusing on IE, six and seven, or should we just kind of go forward here?
Yep.
With the way that the data's come in and the way that, just by installing the agent now on your infrastructure, hopefully, soon in the future, hopefully you'll be able to go and get benefits from that.
Okay. That sounds certainly interesting.
Right.
Yeah, we'll have to check out the announcement to see how much. How much information's in there?
I'm skirting around the edges.
You're always welcome to leak. That's a classic thing
we
do
here
on
the
show.
I don't know if I'll be very welcome when I go home. That's
okay. Certainly interesting to see, this. So New Relic, available in the Windows Azure Store.
Yes.
After looking at it here today, it's something that I'd be interested in going and having a play with. So certainly worth checking out if you... I guess from what I understand, from what I've seen, and feel free to correct me, there's two main use cases that I can see that I would use it for. It's like something's going really wrong with a deployed service that I've got. Mm-hmm. So just go, turn it on, do a deployment where you've actually got the NuGet package installed in that case. Alternatively, you know, as you're developing, use it as a tool to improve the quality of your code such that, you know, by the time you deploy this thing, it's actually in pretty good shape.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And I would maybe thirdly would be, even if nothing's going wrong, you're able to see what's going on in production.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, which is great. Which is a great tool to go, well, you know what? Maybe we can make that page better, or you know, clean up these databases. You know, we sometimes get an opportunity to refactor, but we don't always utilize it as developers, because, you know, we're like, well, features, you know, features are good. So maybe, you know, these are areas where it could easily point out areas to refactor or clean up. Or
and it you're making decisions based on data, not on intuition.
Yes. Yeah, which is good, you know, most of the time.
All right. Well, excellent. Great. Thanks for joining us today, Nick. We do appreciate you driving up to do this special presentation.
Absolutely.
And I hope this sort of makes life easier for you guys. It's available in the Windows Azure Store, and there is a free tier to it. So, you know, there's nothing stopping you from giving a go. So thanks for watching.
Bye.